Yeah, nappies on Friday nights. You've got four of your next five on the road. How do you think this team has just kind of handled the road and having a veteran group? What does it mean to have maybe more of a veteran group in road games?
Well, you know, I think one is, I made this comment before our league started, that I thought our non-conference schedule got us prepared to go on the road in our league. You know, second game of the year at Wisconsin, tough environment. You know, having to go to Connecticut, tough environment. And then obviously we've played four road games in a pretty short period of time to start the league, and then we've had three in a row here at home. So, I would liken it to, you know, what I mentioned, you know, about our defense. You know, it's a just because, you know, you've done well on the road up to this point in time doesn't necessarily mean that continues. You know, you have to play well, and it takes, you know, your entire team being focused on what it needs to do, on the road. Normally, and I would throw ourselves in this, you know, teams are more comfortable playing at home. It's where you practice. It's familiarity. It's a little bit different when you go on the road. So, you know, for us, although we've done pretty well on the road this year so far, I think tomorrow night poses a different test. And just because that's been the case in the past doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the case tomorrow. So we're going to have to perform and play really, really well. I've got confidence in our guys going on the road and playing. We've got some older guys that have been through it. They understand it. They know what it takes. But we're playing against a team that's, playing very good basketball. Wasn't so long ago that we played them. It's kind of a similar situation to Alabama where there's some familiarity because we've played each other once. The only difference is instead of us, Alabama coming here, we're going to Tennessee. So with a quick turnaround, playing a Saturday, Tuesday, the one positive is that you've got enough time with this familiarity because our guys have played against each other. And I'm sure there's familiarity on their part too. But, we're going to have to be obviously ready to go out there and play.
Another factor you have is maybe more bodies with the addition of Chris. How does that maybe play in being able to have an extra guy in terms of, foul trouble and fatigue and things of that nature?
Yeah, I think that always helps. You know, I think Chris is getting more and more comfortable. He adds depth to our front court. With him, we are a deeper team across the front court. You know, I think the one thing that stands out about Tennessee is how well they rebound the basketball. They got the largest rebounding margin in the league. And they're also getting back better than anyone in our league their misses. So inside will be a battle, I think, for both teams. And I think for us, having Chris gives us a little bit more depth in our front court than maybe we had the first time we played them.
In light of the Marcus Smart situation, any increased emphasis on getting the team mentally ready with rivalry games this week in tough environments?
No, you know, I tell our guys all the time, when you're going in on the road, there's always going to be situations and things that can distract you from doing your job. And there's enough to deal with in between the lines with who you're playing against, never mind trying to deal with what's going on outside the lines. So for us, it's the same thing, same message all the time. We got to do our jobs and we got to be connected and focused on doing our jobs. And anything else that takes us out of doing our job, is just distraction that's going to put us in a position where we're not going to play as well as we need to play. And I think some of our guys, like I said, been in some tough venues, tough road games, and this will be no different on Tuesday for us. We've got to stay focused on what we need to do between the lines.
How do you view the current state of fan etiquette?
Well, I think every school, at least before games, tries to endorse, promote, do the best they can with ads, messages, about having a level of sportsmanship out there. Does it always happen? No, it doesn't. But, I think the one thing that you have to do is you got to be responsible for yourself. And I think the minute you start to become responsible or think you're responsible for somebody else is when you get distracted and you get taken out of what you need to do. And in every venue, there's going to be things that are going to go on and be said that, could be hurtful, could be disappointing, upsetting. But at the same point, that stuff's got to be blocked out, and you've got to be able to go out there and do your job, to the best of your ability right now. There are times where things do cross the line, in my opinion. And it's not like I'm passing judgment on anybody else out there. I'm sure there's been times our fans have done that too. And you don't want to see that. You want to see, your fans, root for your team, and encourage your team as best they can. And sometimes it doesn't happen, you know, and that sometimes is unfortunate. But you can't be responsible for what somebody else is saying or doing, you know, because you got to be responsible for what you're doing. And that's, you know, I think the message for us.
Billy, you've got four seniors, and that in itself is rare these days and times. But could you talk about how these guys have developed into leaders from the time they came here to now, and what they bring, you know, what they're bringing to the table now? Because you've talked in the past about needing more vocal leaders, and it seems like you've got them this year.
Yeah, I think the leadership part always comes from, and I think one of the things young people struggle with, and our guys are pretty good with this, you know, before you can lead, you got to be responsible for yourself and accountable to yourself, you know, and I think if you got guys that are making excuses, not doing their job, it becomes very, very difficult to lead because you lose respect inside the locker room, you know. Now, that's not to say that everybody's going to be perfect and not make mistakes, but I do think each and every day you have an opportunity as a player to show a level of unselfishness in terms of where your focus is. And with the understanding that, you know, you are going to make mistakes, you're not going to be perfect, but your heart is that of trying to do on a continual basis what's best for your team. And I think when you do that, you build trust, you build confidence, you build connectivity inside of your team. And I think these four guys, Prather, you get, Will McKinn, and Pat, have displayed that. You know, none of them are perfect. They all make mistakes. But I don't think you can ever question their heart in terms of where it is. And their heart is for the team and trying to do whatever they can to help the team. And I think it's allowed them, you know, to do that. I think so much gets talked about leadership, leadership, leadership. There is no leadership unless you have good followers. You know, part of having a good leader is you got to have guys that are going to follow too. Now, the problem comes in when you got guys that are following bad leadership, you know, and your team gets taken off a cliff. That's not good either. But if you've got good guys that are about the right things and they're talking to young people about helping them, those guys have got to be responsible of wanting to be led. You know, a perfect example of that for me this year in the last few weeks has been Chris Walker. You know, Chris Walker has been very, very open to listen to Patrick, to you get, to Prather, to Wilbekin, to have those guys help him. And he's been a very, very good listener. He doesn't come across that he's got all the answers and solutions and knows everything. And Chris is you know, been patient listening to those guys, and those guys have been patient, you know, trying to help Chris. So, you know, it's a whole thing. You know, there's times where Patrick Young needs to be led or Wilbekin needs to be led. But, you know, when you're in a role like that, you do have to have guys that are good followers too, and good followers to the right message.
Billy, speaking of Chris, I know you've mentioned you've seen some growth from him and also that things have been kind of basic when he's on the floor. How far can he realistically get in terms of growth and understanding what you guys are doing?
Well, I think he can get better when things start to become a little bit more less thinking and more reacting for him. You know, where do I got to go? What am I supposed to do? I think that probably takes away some of his athleticism, some of his abilities. I think once he gets comfortable, I think he can impact the game more athletically with his running, shot blocking, rebounding. And I think he is getting more comfortable. He is getting a little bit more confident. It was hard to play him a lot of minutes against Alabama just because, you know, Alabama was shifting in and out of a lot of different defenses, and you'd like to get a little bit more creative offensively in terms of what you're running and what you're doing. And things that we were running a lot in the first half and even in the second half was stuff that he's probably not as familiar with. And some of the things we were running were effective against their zone, and now you're taking a guy and putting him out there. Once they started to play more man-to-man, we could put Chris in there a little bit more. So he has caught up. We used yesterday to kind of get him caught up on some different things on both offense and defense that maybe he hasn't been exposed to yet, because, like, there's things that are going on right now, and I've told him, do not worry about this. You don't need to know it. Don't worry about it. We'll eventually get to this, but then there's things like, you need to know this. You need to be able to do this. And now we're slowly starting to add some more things to him where he's getting a better background. So I do think he's going to be able to help our team and continue to play more and more minutes.
Last summer, the commissioner asked the SEC, asked you guys to schedule tougher outside the conference. Now that we're moving closer to the tournament, a couple teams did that. It backfired, I think, Alabama, mm-hmm. South Carolina.
Yep.
But do you see maybe an increase in that across the board and see it even maybe getting better next year?
Yeah, you know, this is going to be probably a never-ending debate, you know, as it relates to non-conference scheduling. I think Alabama right now, RPI-wise, has the second-rated schedule in the country. And they are a really, really, really good team. And they've made growth you know, throughout the course of the year. But when you're playing the kind of schedule they're playing, you know, there is that opportunity where you can have a record like they have. And, you know, I'm not an insider of Anthony's team, so I don't know all the inner workings there. But, you know, I know Tom Izzo one year, we talked about it, scheduled six really, really hard games, and he lost all of them. And it puts your team in a really, really bad psyche, so to speak. And a lot of times your team is not reflective of your record. And sometimes the scheduling really can cause a problem. So there's a fine line there between, you know, scheduling, you know, up and more difficult games, and also a balance, too, where your team doesn't just get run into the ground. And you think you look at Alabama, the fact that they're going to UCLA, they played Xavier, they played Wichita State, they've played Oklahoma. You know, they've had to play a lot of really, really, really hard games. They've battled some injuries. And I'm not so sure if their record is indicative of the way those guys played. And I thought they played maybe one of their better games up to this point in time against us. And I think probably some had to do with they played against a lot of good teams. You know, they weren't, you know, at all where they played a really soft schedule and they were maybe, you know, lost in a fog of how good they were. But I give Anthony credit for how hard their guys continue to battle and continue to grow. And there was a, there's no, like, everybody talks about non-conference scheduling. It all looks good, you know, but for any league, you have to win some of those games. You know, you have to win some of them. So, you know, you can schedule up, but you got to be able to win some of those games. And that's the hard part when you're playing against a lot of good teams. So I think our league has done that. There are teams, I think, that, you know, continue to get better and improve. I think a lot of teams in our league, I say this all the time, are not the same in November as they are here in February. Teams get better. There's good coaches here. But what happens is, you know, in your non-conference schedule, once you get through it and you start crossing over to other BCS conferences, and now people immediately label the league, you know. But in some ways, if it got flip-flopped and you played outside your league this time of year, it could look a little bit different, but it doesn't work that way. You know, it's kind of like you play non-conference, you get into your league. But once you get into the league in January, the league's got an identity. You know, and it's really, really hard to change that identity. You know, it really, really is. But there's ebbs and flows during the course of the year, and I think that, you know, we've got some teams right now in our league that continue to get better and improve.
They were looking back at the last matchup against Tennessee. How much of their struggles offensively was defense, and how much of it was, you know, just missing decent shots?
You know, going back, I think, you know, when you get yourself removed from the game, you know, after the game's over with, you look down at the stat sheet, you see the numbers, and obviously they were really good in terms of what it looked like for us defensively. I think it was a combination of, you know, there were some areas we did a really, really good job, and there was also some areas those guys missed some shots. You know, they missed some shots, had some pretty decent looks. I don't think that in the course of a game that you're just going to shut a team out from never getting up a good shot. There's going to be some times where they have gotten good shots. You know, there was times in the games where we really were in a bad spot and we rotated really well and created a lot of help and we made a play. There was times in the game we broke down and, you know, didn't get where we were supposed to get. We gave up an open shot. They missed it. So it was probably a combination of both. You know, what they shot against us from the field in the first half I don't think was really 100% indicative of us defensively. Do I think we did a good job defensively? Yes. Do the numbers reflect that that's exactly – probably not. But it was probably somewhere in the middle.